Yes, you say helping the Syrian people decide their destiny. You know, a lot of observers that were watching Syria's elections said that that's exactly what the US has not been doing. They said the US should have recognized when the people in Syria went to vote, for instance, and voted for President Assad. According to the figures that I have, 11.63 million people voted. That's equal to 73.7% of eligible voters. And they were saying that huge numbers of people, even refugees from neighboring countries, were pouring into Syria to have their say, but the U.S. is not recognizing that.
Well, again, they asked, why didn't we have a U.N.-supervised election where we could see? I mean, that election was a farce. The idea that that was free and open, the way they intimidated people, that's nonsense. Let's have a U.N.-supervised election. If Assad thinks he has the support, let him do it. And remember that the Free Syrian Army, along with the Russians and the United States, came to Geneva and said, let's set up a transitional government so we can stop this killing. And Assad said no.
Well, Mr. Barrett, a lot of issues raised there. First of all, do you think that a transitional government, the idea that was proposed in Geneva, would have worked and was the solution? Why didn't it work? Who was responsible there? And also how that election in Syria has also changed things, in your opinion, and why do you think the U.S. is calling it a farce?
Well, the problem is that a transitional government, which conceivably could work if there were U.N. supervised elections that were honestly observed by all sides, that probably would be something that could be worked out at some point in the future. But that's not what the U.S. was asking for in Geneva. The U.S. was trying to push Assad must go as a prerequisite for anything else. And in fact, the Syrian people did vote for President Assad in the recent elections. And in fact, all of the polling data shows that he does have majority support in Syria. I'm not a huge fan of President Assad. I'm not even sure I would vote for him if I were a Syrian, but I'm not a Syrian and it's not my business. The Syrian people have the right to determine their own future. And even hostile foreign observers, including Al Jazeera, the state service from Qatar, said at the lowest point of Assad's popularity, he was still polling 55% positive support. And it's much, much higher now that the so-called resistance has revealed itself as a gang of liver-eating lunatics. So I think that Mr. Korb is being, again, very disingenuous by trying to claim that the U.S. was supporting the Syrian people against the Assad government. That's just not the case. It was basically following, consciously or unconsciously, the Oded Yanon Israeli plan to break up Middle Eastern countries into pieces. The U.S. has been used by the Zionists to create these divisions, sectarian divisions, ethnic divisions in Middle Eastern countries in order to break them up. And if you look at what the actual U.S. policy is in these countries, you'll see that it's always officially saying, mouthing some kind of platitude, like the sorts of things we're hearing from the mouth of Mr. Korb. But the reality is that it's always working to enable these Tekfiri militants and anyone else who is helping break up these countries. For instance, the stalling that's been going on over Iraq, where the U.S. says we won't give the Iraqi government any arms to fight against these extremists until there's basically Prime Minister Nour al-Maliki resigns and in favor of some new so-called inclusive government. Well, that's actually a non-starter, and the purpose of saying that isn't to actually make it happen. The reason the United States is putting that forward is simply to stall and to allow ISIL, which is funded by the American deep state, to grab more territory. And likewise, in Syria, it's the same thing. The U.S. is putting forward proposals that are complete non-starters, keeping Iran away from the table in Geneva, saying that Assad, who clearly has majority support in Syria, anyone who says he doesn't is a liar or a lunatic, saying he must step down. These are complete non-starters. The whole purpose is to allow the extremist and sectarian and ethnic sectarian secessionist forces in the Middle East to do their dirty work and to break up these countries into little pieces in line with the Oded Yanon plan for the Balkanization of the Middle East. That is the real United States policy that's being pursued by the real government of the United States, which is the organized crime deep state. The drug smuggling, arms smuggling, deep state of the United States is in control of the U.S. and of U.S. Middle East policy. The Zionists have a huge hand in that. That's the real policy. And I guess Mr. Korb just hasn't gotten the memo.
Well, Mr. Korb, some people are saying even if we want to look at the U.S. policies in a positive light, we could say that those policies in Syria were mistaken because that support that was given to the insurgents and the constant call on Assad to step down did help the current situation to develop, especially when it comes to the ISIL entering into Iraq and creating the current situation in Iraq. For instance, Jordanian officials revealing to one American website, I'm sure you know, that U.S. military instructors trained Takfiri militants of the ISIL at a secret base in Jordan back in 2012. So do you think the U.S. Should be responsible now for much of what's happening because of its mistaken policies?
No. I mean, basically, this was the Syrian people, like the people in Tunisia and Egypt, trying to take control of their own destiny. The United States said Assad must go because that's what the people in Syria wanted. They weren't put by us.
That's not true.
Now, when we were training people in Jordan, basically, ISIL wasn't even in there to begin with. Assad actually wanted them to come in so he could claim this was a war against terrorism. He's been buying oil from them. He has been helping them because this changes the narrative.
Did he bring them into Syria?
He let them come in. Not only let them come in, he aided them by buying oil from the areas they controlled.
You're giving conspiracy theorists a bad name.
Mr. Barrett, who do you think is responsible for the arrival of ISIL terrorists in Syria and Iraq? And we know, according to one report, it's the world's richest terror group with £1.5 billion in its coffers. Where is this money coming from?
Well, it's coming from some of the same places that have funded various insurgencies and counterinsurgencies all over the world, which, again, is this deep state that the empire uses to do its dirty work. The same places that have funded the destruction of Ukraine, the $5 billion that Victoria Nuland said went to destroy the Ukraine, the same kinds of sources are giving similar sums to the Takfiris and other groups in the Middle East who promised to destabilize the region. This is the destabilization doctrine, which is now the core of U.S. policy. So that money is coming partly from U.S. taxpayers. There is all sorts of, there's the official aid that's being sent, the non-lethal aid being sent to the so-called good terrorists, the pro-America people who have absolutely zero support in the region. But behind the scenes, the real action is where the weapons are secretly being given to ISIS. And this has been going on for quite some time, and it's the same method all over the world. The U.S. empire does this everywhere. It essentially covertly arms and funds groups that it denies. It's all deniable. It's all done behind the scenes. So this money is coming from U.S. taxpayers. It's coming from the massive profits from CIA-linked drug smuggling, which have been estimated at more than $1.5 trillion per year, which gets laundered through various corrupt corporations and so on, goes to buy arms for whoever the empire wants to destabilize, or rather for the opponents of whoever they want to destabilize. And then, of course, the Saudis and the Qataris and other Gulf actors, there's a lot of oil money from the Gulf that's also kicking in. So that's where the money is coming from. Mm-hmm. It's certainly not coming from oil purchases made by Assad. I mean, talk about ridiculous conspiracy theories. I've been called a conspiracy theorist, and I've never come up with anything quite that outlandish, that Assad wants to undermine himself by creating Takfiri terrorists to slaughter his soldiers and dismember his country. That's completely ludicrous. Mr. Korb, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Well, thank you very much. I'm afraid we've run out of time. I have to thank both of our guests, Mr. Kevin Barrett, author and Middle East expert with us live there from Madison, and senior fellow with American Progress, Mr. Lawrence Korb in Washington. Thank you so much, everyone, for staying with us. From me, Homa Lesgi. Until our next debate, it's goodbye.